24-087, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekinen, will be resolved that Council of Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby reconvene into regular open session of council at 6:31 p.m. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. Resolution 24-088, moved by Councilor Ryland, second by Councilor Haskam, be it resolved that Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar is hereby accept the reports, recommendations, and directions arising from the closed session held February 20th, 2024. Any discussion? Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. In the spirit of reconciliation and cooperation, we wish to acknowledge that the land on which we gather is the traditional territory of the Anishinaabe and the Mississauga people. Its boundaries fall within the Robinson-Huron Treaty of 1850 and the Williams Treaty of 1923. We are grateful to live here, and we thank all the generations of people who have taken care of this land for thousands of years. To honor the suffering of Indigenous people and the love and wisdom they have carried for thousands of years, we pledge to work in community and harmony with each other and the environment we inhabit, and work towards truth and reconciliation. Open session, we'll take roll call again.
Councillor Morley Haskell.
Councillor Nick Ryland.
Councillor Debbie Zulak.
Councillor Mike Hackenan.
Clerk Administrator Ina Watkinson.
Deputy Clerk Kelly Britton.
And Mayor David Moore. Are there any declarations of pecuniary and of personal interest in the general nature thereof? Hearing none, we have moved. According to our first resolution, planning matters 15.1, consent application B03/2024, Allen and Chandling, to number just between 11 and 12. So we have no public meeting, we have no delegations and presentations, so we'll deal with the planning matter of Allen and Chandling at this point. And I believe we have Patrick Christie online, so he can maybe speak to the application.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. Application B03-2024 is an application by Kenneth Allen for a lot addition from the Shandling lands to his water access parcel off of Fire Route 150 on Lake Manitowabe. There is EP fish habitat in front of the benefiting and the retained lands. However, there are existing docks on both of these parcels. And both parcels are currently zoned Waterfront 2 or WF2. Happy to answer any questions. Thank you.
Yeah, I, one maybe just to start us off, the Fire Route 150 I'm interested in. Where does that lead to? To what property? Just to the access point, or does it actually lead to the other properties?
I believe it does, yes, just lead to the access point.
And I see 151 comes in from the south side, the east side. And I'm wondering where that seems to be a couple of pieces of property that, at least one anyway, doesn't have access, either through 150 or 151. So I'm wondering how they get to their property. There's just a sliver there that I wonder about. It butts up against the access property. Just on your sketches, it doesn't look like 151 comes in far enough to reach that one piece of property. I don't even know if it has the size of a lot. It has an instrument number, but do you know which lot I'm?
I'm not sure that I do, but there is a discrepancy in some mapping where the pin mapping shows the benefiting lands as more of an L shape, and the assessment mapping shows it just going to the end of Fire at 150. As a more of a rectangular shape. It's almost as if part of the pin is where near the dock is underwater. I'm not sure if that answered your question, Mr. Mayor.
I'm also wondering with the Fire Route 150, how that works. Who has, maybe you don't know this right now, but deeded access to that? Is it just the access lot or? I'm just wondering, the people over further, as I say, to coming in from 151, maybe they don't need needed access on 150. I'm just wondering because that goes out
And it almost looks as if, I don't know, you can tell me, that the piece of property that's being severed and it's going to be added to the access lot includes the fire at 150.
I believe it does. I believe that the Shandling does in fact own the land over which 150 travels. And these are actually parts on a plan.
So nobody,
which is being added to the access lot.
Okay, so nobody else uses 150 as an access point that you're aware of?
Not to my knowledge.
And the other question, and of course, 150 seems to go out to Tate's Island Road, and yet it's not part of this application. And I'm not sure if you have the history on this or not. It crosses another, first of all, it crosses a road allowance. Now that road allowance was purchased years ago by the township. It was actually an exchange. There were three lots that were developed further to the south. Just a piece of them showing here. And part of it was because it wanted to straighten Tate's Island Road, that the township would get a piece of property, which they now have in their name. It looks as if Fire 150 goes across that road allowance out to Tate's Island Road. And I'm just wondering about the nature of that section beyond the piece that's to be attached to the access point. Do you know anything about 150 at all, the fire route?
That I'm not sure where it intersects Tate's Island Road now.
Okay. I won't monopolize all the questions here. Council has other questions. I guess the other one that we've wondered about, the island property, that would be the same person who owns the access point?
It is, yes, Mr. Mayor. They were actually purchased separately, what I understand.
Okay, so the access property is not a deeded connecting with the island, that but two separate properties?
That is correct, they're separate.
And I guess the other question is, the actual piece that's to be severed and then a lot addition to the access lot, once that's all transpired, if it does happen, is that a saleable lot with the access and with the lot addition? Right now, the lot is the retained and the proposed severed. Could it be a lot that has waterfront? Yeah, I don't know, it doesn't really have road frontage, but is that a possible future saleable lot with the lot addition and the access lot?
I believe so, because the severed and the retained lots have frontage, albeit small frontage, on Tate's Island.
I'm not sure that Severed does. You mean in at the south?
At the south, a small portion, yes.
Okay. Council, before I open it up to the public, any questions from council? Okay, any questions from in person, first of all, and then we can go to Zoom. Took your podium away too. Okay.
That's on, is it?
Yeah.
so the.
Well, we just have your name again for.
Reg Moore. Okay. So the question the mayor asked, that was the last question I had, but I'm going to touch on it first in his abstraction. So the maps provided by the planning board, one map shows that the one fire route 150 ends at the benefiting lands, another map shows it crosses. Is there a registered plan on Fire Route 150, and if so, do you know what it is?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, through Rushmore, I believe there is a plan that shows Fire Route 150, and I believe, and I say that because I don't believe there's a survey necessary for this transaction. So the part of Target 150 that crosses the lot addition lands is a part on a plan, and the parts being added are also parts on a plan. If that answers the question.
No, it didn't. So the plans that were provided by the planning board, one plan, I don't know how accurate the one is, but anyway, the one plan shows that Fire Route 150 crosses the benefit lands to the instrument lot, waterfront lot that the mayor was talking about. Another plan shows that it ends at the benefiting lands and does not cross them, so that that waterfront lot would have access. So if there's a registered plan, what does it show?
I believe that was submitted as part of the application that council, I believe, has. Just give me 1 second to go my file. We're fine. Not sitting where I was looking for it, but I know that there is a plan that shows the parts that are being added. I can send that now or whenever it's needed. I do have that.
So I, just so you know, Patrick, I've looked at the plan. The plan's sitting right here on the desk. It's 42R18189, and it's part 16 of that plan, that right of way. And it ends at the benefiting lands. So to reiterate the mayor's question, how does that instrument lot on the water get access? Does Mr. Allen's deed for his benefiting lands show a recent right-of-way across his lands or anything like that?
The lot description actually is quite vague from what I've seen. It doesn't describe it very well. It just has a pin, and it doesn't reference the plan.
I'm just wondering, if this were to occur, the severance of the lot addition to the access lot then would own Fire 150. Is this part of the deal? Well, he would have access at that point. Right now, I'm not sure whether he does or not. But if this goes through, he would have access.
Yeah. But the waterfront lot with the instrument number on it beyond his lot would not.
Well, it depends on how it's described. He says one has an L shape and one doesn't. So.
The L shape that's missing on the one, though, Patrick, is the waterfront part, right? That rectangular piece on the mainland is there no matter what.
It is, and it does touch the water, and it has the dock at the end of it, regardless of it, if it's up, if or rectangle.
So the reason I have these questions is because I've been down Fire Route 150, and I know it leads to that instrument number. And they've always used that as an access to their property. If you look at the aerial, there's a building on the property. There's a cottage there, and they've always used that access. So is it legal access? Is it an illegal access? Or is that only a waterfront lot? Or do they access off Fire Route 151? If the sale of this land goes through to Mr. Allen, is he going to cut off their access?
Well, if they have deeded that parcel on the water, if they have legal deeded access now, you would think that would continue even after the transaction.
We don't know if they do or not, and neither does Patrick.
And if they don't, well, that's kind of their problem, is it not? Like, I don't know how that would affect the application. That's
The only way I see it is that as it stands right now, these are all new owners since the historic time I'm talking about that I was in there, but
who's actually using that right of way that might be cut off?
The people with that instrument number on the water. Alan is the, like Patrick had said, he thought Alan was the only one using it, but he was, they put an addition on their cottage years ago, and I had to go in there, and that's how I went in.
Yeah, you actually see the cottage on the aerial shot. Yeah. That's in there. So
there is no other access, and I don't think they use water water access. They come in through 150. I agree, you would think they would be here voicing their opinions and concerns or whatever, but anyway, it's something to think about, and maybe they're, I don't know whether it can be conditions for this, or maybe there should be a little bit more title search done before this goes through.
Mr. Mayor, would it be helpful if I share this screen?
If the council okay with that, we'll see if Carly can.
Do you have a comment, Mr. Mayor, if that found something, if you, when Mr. David says that?
I just have the Service Ontario land parcels for that area, the property index map.
Okay, sounds good. That's Mr.
Maybe.
Mr. David shared the screen.
Now I just got to find it. Can you see that screen?
Yep. Looks good. Yep.
Okay, so the part in gray here is the what I believe is the land access parcel. Patrick, if I'm correct. And I basically, there's a dotted line here. These lands is outlined in green, and the dashed line are to be transferred to the lands in gray that are owned by, I guess, Mr. and Mrs. Allen now. And there's a road allowance here, it looks like, for both Moffat Road extension as well as, it looks like a road allowance that might lead down to Tate's Island Road.
Right.
And that right of way has to cross that road allowance to meet up with Tate's Island Road. And I don't know who owns these lands in the yellow here. But it's also, Mr. Mayor, correct me if I'm wrong, and I believe these may be road allowances, but I'm not certain. But we usually have, the township usually has, if someone wants to cross a right of way, such as the ones down on Fox Farm Road and the extension of Camp Road to Fox Farm Road, I think you have a Section 5126 agreement with respect to liability. To cross that right of way. Because I don't know what the future of this right of way, this road allowance is, whether it's to be used, whether it's to be cleared surplus and sold, as well as the extension to Moffat Road that appears to be on this parcel map. And this parcel in gray, the Allen parcel, is used, I think, as an access point, Patrick, to an island that's out in the bay, but the two aren't connected to one another. So in other words, the island could be sold, correct, with no deeded access, because this is the deeded access, but it's not linked to the island. Is that correct?
It is an access point, but it is not deeded to the island, no.
So there's nothing in it, for example, that says if you're going to sell the partly island property, you must have deeded access, so this parcel has to be linked to it.
That's correct, and I can sort of doubly confirm that because they were purchased separately.
Yeah. So the separate lands being added would create a new waterfront lot, correct? As well as the island lot. Now, Mr. Mayor, you were asking about the extension of this fire route?
151, yes.
151. It appears as if it was going to ultimately connect up to this right of way, but it stopped short. And I don't know whether there's rights of way over these two properties, But when we get to this property right at the end here, that the Allen property sort of surrounds, I think there's a dock and a, it may be on the, it may in fact be on the Allen property that's used by the owner of that end lot. I'm looking at the air photos. But those are just some points I wanted to raise. I'm not really concerned about the application, just that there are these road allowances that, that should be dealt with. And the crossing of them.
I guess the one question we'd raise too, you're saying it is an L shape then, you think that Mr. Allen owns it?
It shows up on a different parcel map as just a triangle. And it shows that these flooded lands, the parcel that's within the fish habitat, it shows them as flooded lands, but they may be owned by Mr. Allen. There's a lot of flooded lands, for example, that are. And I don't know if there's a shoreline road alliance along here as well. Along that properties in front onto Fire Route 1, or back onto Fire Route 150. Is it two or one?
One.
Because this looks like it may be a 66-foot shore allowance, road shore allowance, that, that normally would be sold to these adjacent properties.
It's just unfortunate that those people who are in that area aren't at this meeting. They're the ones to be most affected by this.
But well, this fire route stops short and I think crosses like two properties, but I don't know whether this right of way is used by Mr. Allen alone or by this property to the south of his property. I'm not sure.
I do see on the Westbury Sound Geographic Network that the parcel at the end, I guess behind Mr. Allen's property, is called 23 Fire Route 150. And it does have it together with, in the description, although it refers to a land registry document. So it's together with something. It may be a right of way over 150. I'm not sure.
Oh, so it's the address is 23 Fire Route 150.
Yes.
So then I don't know whether or not this right of way only serves Mr. Allen's property or whether it serves this other property. I'm not sure. Because if Mr. Allen purchases these lands and it gets transferred, and he's the only one who uses it, there's no rationale to have the right of way stay. Correct? Because he's gonna own the land. Unless it's a right of way for the other person, not 23.
I have a question for Patrick. Would these properties receive notice of this consent application, all the adjacent properties?
Yes, they would.
So you would think if they had a concern over maybe possibly losing access to their properties that they would have notified the planning board or the council, you would almost think. So I think they've had their chance.
Unless there's the possibility they've been using it, not really worried about it, and then as Reg had said, if suddenly they're cut off, then they'll be worried about it, but it's after the fact.
I believe that if there is a registered right of way over it, then Shandling would own it through owning the lands, and then if it gets transferred, then in my mind, nothing changes, because if it's there, it must continue to be there. And if it's not, then the lands are in the name of Allen and not Shandling, but it's the same situation.
Well, just on this map, I got this little question mark up here, Mr. Mayor and councilors, because I don't know how this right-of-way connects to Cates Island Road crossing these lands that they're outlined in yellow. If there's a right-of-way or not. I think on the registered plan packet, there's a part number.
Part 9 and 10 of another plan.
But I don't know who owns these lands. But I know, and Mr. Mayor, does the township own this road allowance, or the line in gray?
My understanding they do, yes, that's a trade-off for the lots down further to the south, those three lots.
Oh, these three.
And it was also, the idea was to straighten Tate's Island at some time in the future, so we wanted that property. But.
Okay, so you still want it?
I would say it'll depend on this council and the next council what they want to do with Tate's Island, I guess.
Okay.
Trying to get rid of some of the S-turns in there. Couldn't get rid of them all, but might make it better. But.
It's just that this crossing of the road allowance normally spawns a crossing agreement of some kind.
No, I agree, and you mentioned Fox Farm. It's rather interesting because we were surprised too. There's a person in there who has a right-of-way across the road allowance. We don't have any record of that, but no agreement anyway with those people, with the purchasers. And that's happened. I know back in Balsam Road, we had an agreement signed. I think Councillor Haskell will remember too, with the snowmobile trails. If they were to use some of the road allowance, we always said that it was public property. It couldn't just be for a permitted snowmobile. And so, yes, we have agreements, mainly because of liability, as you said, and also the fact that people have to recognize that it is public where it actually crosses, that other people, they can't keep people off that section. So I don't know when this actually took place, when that was put in, and you're right, I'm not sure of the ownership. There's certainly no agreement that I'm aware of with the township crossing the township road lines, sir.
As you know, Mr. Mayor, as Councillor Ryland knows, there's a lot of private roads in the township, and it would be good to clean up messes that this might create.
Well, I agree.
Yeah.
Future. That's all I have to say on that. I might take this down now, or you can take the screen sharing away. But good.
So, Patrick, the last time you spoke there, you talked about the Fire Route 150 owned by Shandon and would be transferred to Allen. What I was talking about was the right-of-way across the benefiting land, which is Allen's own land. If there is a right-of-way across there, the plan doesn't show one. Can there be a condition put in that anybody that has an existing legal right-of-way across that Fire Route 150, it will be continued on the new deeds? Not do it.
Well, you know, well, we ran into a problem that's going back a few years now with the Rand Moore property going down to the developed property down below. And there were people who had lived there or cottage there for years and years. And they came to council and said that we don't really have deeded access here, you know, what can you do for it? We said, well, you're going to have to take care of it, because it was a private right away once it went off the township road lines. And I think they've since sold, but that's a concern, and the same sort of thing here. I think it should be cleared up right now.
Mm-hmm.
So that's
time to do it.
So it's not in the future where they get a surprise. So I don't know whether Patrick answered that for you, or whether that can be put in as a condition. Now, you mentioned a legal right-of-way, so, I mean, if they've been using it and they don't have a legal right-of-way, it's up to them, I guess.
I don't even know whether that's legal or not. After 50 years, maybe it's legal, too. I don't know. Like a trespass road, you know.
Right.
I don't know if we could put in a condition, but I don't know if it exists, it's sort of a given that, I mean, it can't be expunged, so.
Sorry, Patrick, if there's a right-of-way on title, the title should tell you what the right-of-way is for. It should say, and it should say, the parties to that right-of-way, be it the property to the south or not, or maybe it's more than one property. I have no idea.
Okay.
I didn't go to the title on it to check the right of way and what the actual right of way goes for.
And just speaking of that agreement with the township crossing the road allowance too, we're not sure of that Fire Route 150, who actually owns that portion beyond the Shanlins. So can we put that in as a condition that there be an agreement with the Shanlins? They may come back and say that, well, that's not our property, that's crossing your road allowance. Is it a condition that they couldn't possibly meet because maybe they don't own Fire Route 150 beyond where their property is? I don't know who owns it, but
I don't believe that they do. There is another, as you said, there is another piece of land, and it does have a subject to on the title, but again, it refers to a land title stock. So need to pull that to know what it's for.
So a lot of questions, if we can't answer, but it doesn't sound like there are other conditions to be put in.
Do you want me to start first on my list here then?
Okay.
these are more, some of these are just more technical things that I wanted answers to. Your planning report, Christy, Patrick states that the lands to be severed are just north of Fire Route 150. Should that not be south of Fire Route 150?
Yes, Fire Route 150 and south would be added to the guideline. Yes,
but there seems to be a piece that is north of 150. It seems to cut right through the severed portion. So I'm not really sure how's that worded again.
Lands to be severed are just north of Fire Route 150.
Well, part of them are, I guess, but most of them are to the south.
Right.
So could we put both somehow?
I guess it could be both, but yeah. It doesn't really need change. It's just in the planning report. I
right.
I want to be clear to my mind anyway. So the planning report, your planning report states that the subject lands are parts 13 to 17 on plan 42R18189, and that they have approximately 99 meters of frontage on Tate's Island Road. Can you identify that frontage?
Yes, there is frontage on Tate's Island Road. If you look at the air photo, is the easiest way to see. There's frontage for the retained lands on Tate's Island Road where that sort of C-shape or S-bend road happens. And then to the south of the severed lands, there is frontage on Tate's Island Road as well.
So this frontage, is it on part 5?
Yes, runs along there.
So I only see one spot. It's like there's another little kind of a odd triangle piece at the top that has no part number. I don't know what it is. But I only see one spot to chart that touches part 5.
Mr. Mayor, I don't want to confuse things further, but if I can share the screen again, I'll show you the.
We'll have to wait a second. We've lost our. Carter will be back in a second, but if you just explain it, even, yeah.
It's an air photo of the. Part 5's
here, right?
Yes.
There.
Yes,
it's
part
5.
Davidson wants to share the screen again.
He can share now.
Okay.
Sorry, screen share.
If you go like this.
there now, apparently?
Unless it touches their ridge, but it doesn't look like it.
Could I share my screen?
Yes.
Yes.
It's in your hands. You're listed as co-host.
Hey, one sec. Can you see that?
Excellent. Yep.
Yes.
Okay, so this is the Dease Patrick, I think, that shows up on the West Perry Sound. But it's also this piece over here that wraps around, and we could see that we have this cottage down here, 23. We see fire 150 coming down, and I don't know whether it serves this piece or not. And Mr. Mayor, that would be, and councilors, that would be fire route 150.
One. 151, yeah.
Coming across here. And I don't know whether it comes this far or not, but it appears that it serves these two pieces and doesn't get to this piece.
Mm. One thing we need to be a little careful of is when those roads are drawn, they are drawn to follow air photography, but not necessarily planned. So they may be following a driveway that's not a right way. I'm not sure.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Once you get out in the bush, you put the road where you want it to go, and it doesn't necessarily follow the surveyed road.
So I guess the concern is that this application does not cut off access to that property. So if I would almost suggest we defer this application and see if we can clarify that that cottage there will not lose its legal access.
Well, it's also got it looks like it's got its docks down here as well. That may be on the Allen piece.
Judging from the air photo with the pin mapping overlaid, I don't believe that that portion quite reaches the dock on that property.
Okay.
That's right.
So Reg, you had concerns?
So I'm still not clear whether there's two parts that, that touch Tate's Island Road or just one. I see there is one. There is no existing entrance to the retained lands, the Shandling retained lands, because they don't have a right of way across Park 12, as near as I can tell. And they don't have a driveway in yet. So that would be the only place they could access if they don't have a right of way over Park 12. There's just that one spot.
So I would think then another condition to be added to the consent would be that an inspection by our director of operations to ensure that a driveway can access onto the Tate's Island Road.
Can anybody else see where there's two spots?
This is the stair bridge down here.
This is for the retained, or?
Yeah.
Oh, must be down there. Yeah,
right there. We wonder with an existing dock on the retained lands,
we're talking about retained lands.
How do they get to it?
Are they using that Meadows Lane?
Just access.
Park 12. They don't have the freeway across there.
And the other thing, little piece that might touch there, as you said too, it isn't 20 meters. The actual distance on Tate's Island, if it even is on Tate's Island. Or
yeah.
I guess the question, if it's deferred, I mean, who do you talk to here? I mean, it almost has to be people other than the applicant, because Shandling will be the retained portion, right?
Copies of deeds, I guess.
Correct. I think the best way to deal with it would be to definitely check title over for Shandon for the fire at 150, and also check title of the other lands to see if the right-of-way does extend to Dayton Road, which it should have been legal registered right-of-way.
Could I share another screen, Mr. Mayor, councilors?
Yes.
Now, can you see this?
Yes.
There appears to be this right-of-way. It starts in green here and crosses the road allowance and then meets up with Tateson Road. So there's a crossing in the road allowance here and it meets up with Tateson Road across here, and it's got a part number. And there's also a road that comes down here in red. And it comes off of the road allowance. And I don't know how to get to that's the retained piece, I'm assuming. But it comes down to the Allen piece as well.
Is that new information for us? The parallel roads going down there?
It's shown on the plan.
Okay.
What it says is a 6.096 wide right-of-way as set out in instrument number 2251 and 27128. Limits established from existing roadbed. That's probably the one I would know.
But it never reaches Tate's Island Road.
No.
It doesn't look like it.
So they would almost have to come back with the retained then and get an agreement with the township to go across the road allowance to get to that road.
Or they have frontage on this other road, or do they not?
Reg doesn't think they do.
Oh.
To the north of the retained, or?
Yeah, the road that goes across and meets up with Tate's Island Road.
The part in front of their retained property is part 12 on that plan, and they don't own part 12, they only own 13 to 17.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sort of complicated.
Anything off your list?
No.
Can we? I'll ask Patrick here. The deferrals in order to get more information?
Sounds good to me.
Any other comments? I'll read the resolution. Head 24-089, moved by Councillor Ryland, second by Councillor Haskin. Be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar hereby received the proposed consent for a lot addition to an existing lot fronting on Manitowabing Lake in part of lots 15 and 16, concession 8, in the Township of McKellar, as applied for by Kenneth Allen in application number B03-2024, McKellar, and further be approved subject to the following conditions. Number 1, confirmation from the applicant's solicitor that the lot addition will merge with the benefiting lot, and 2, payment of any applicable planning fees. Any further discussion, or just ask for deferral? All those in favor of the deferral? Okay. Deferral it is. Thank you for your input.
Yeah,
and, basically, in the future.
Yeah. Well, you want to leave?
No, no. With this application.
He does take hints well.
Yeah, he picked up on that one.
Yeah. Resolution 24-090, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved, Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar to committee of the whole at 7:16 p.m. to continue discussions on transfer station user permits, the cards. Open for discussion, council first, and then open to the public as well. Maybe Carly wants to give a little background on it, where we're at in negotiations.
So the proof that was in the agenda package is an overview of what council wanted to see. Our vendor said that she can print the cards like that. She just needs the artwork approved before she could print a sample card. So we're just looking for clarification on as to what to put on the card. I had suggested maybe a QR code for the hours of operation instead of printing them on the card, because if we ever change them, then the QR code sends you to the website where the website is constantly updated. So anything written on the card would be outdated, but the QR code would never be outdated. And then also speaking with the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee, another suggestion was to have a QR code on the card to direct the user to a website page on the township's website that would tell people how to recycle. So that's another option as well. It may be confusing to have two QR codes on one single card. So if council wants to choose one, let me know. And if you have any other comments or concerns.
Well, one QR code confuses me, but...
So yeah, I think that the hours actually should be on there, over actually printed the hours, because over the course of 30 years the hours were only changed in this once during that time period. So I think we've pretty well established the hours of operation, and anyone that has a phone that's going to look at this QR code can look up the transfer station hours, whereas someone who doesn't have a phone that's synchronized, you know, for QR codes, it'll be useful to them to actually have the hours on the card.
Right, and I'll just say too, any smartphone can scan a QR code, so you just open your camera app and then it scans it and then sends you to the website. You don't need to download a special app to read a QR code, it's just done through your camera.
But it brings you to the website?
Correct.
And you need data for that? Not everyone has a data plan?
True. If you're under Wi-Fi, you'd be directed. But
And not everyone has cell phone reception in all parts of McKellar?
And not everyone has a cell phone.
That's right.
And some only have a flip phone.
Other comments, questions on that? We're looking at the shape of it, what it's going to look like. Councillor Ryan.
I'm just curious, the address that we've got here, if it's a cottage, what address would we put in there? The property, they don't have a civic address if they don't live there, is that true?
No, every property has a civic address. If
okay.
it's a legal address and they don't have a civic address, they can come to the township office and we can assign them one.
Okay.
If the property, for some reason, doesn't have, like if it's vacant land and they didn't want a civic address on it, then we can just put the rule number.
Okay.
Because the legal land description is fairly lengthy.
Sure, yeah. Okay. No, other than that, I'm fine with it.
You had some question, too, about confidentiality, I guess. Has that been resolved?
No, my only concern with having the owner's name and address sent to the vendor is I lose control getting that information back, because she would have to input it into her computer software system to have it printed on the card. And then she has that, she can say she can delete it off her software, but I, myself, am uncomfortable with that because I don't have any proof that things were deleted. I can't just send her, say, a Google Drive link and delete it later, because she's taking that from Google and putting it in her software. So personally, I would be more comfortable with just the address, but I know council wants to see the name as well, but that might be another discussion topic.
So the samples that we see here are not the same as the proof that's in our council package.
No, those samples were just done on the computer with
cardstock. Or
well, it wasn't the cardstock either. It was actually done by the separated into 8 and 10. Correct.
Yeah, making like business cards.
Business cards. Yeah. And that was laminated. They were stated, they weren't cut, they were laminated
concern was that it was going to lose lamination once it's cut, but it really wasn't. It stayed. It pressed right through. So maybe people knew that. It was an experiment on my part. And that's all done in-house. And so we wouldn't have to put out any information to anybody if we use a card like that.
So
you can put the name on it.
With a name
with
on
name
it.
And
you can put the hours on the back. You can do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then have it laminated.
So this is like a heavier paper than...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Then,
yeah, it's
yeah.
like a cardstock.
Or is it... With the lamination on it, it would become this thickness, right? Compared to...
No, it's heavier than that.
Heavier than that?
Yeah.
Yeah, business card paper is a little heavier.
It's actually the weight of a business card, and
yeah.
then laminate it after.
So you're saying this was all can be done in-house?
Right. No names would have to go out to anybody, to a third party.
Right, so
but
we
then,
could then have the names put on.
But the question is this the quality of what you're looking for?
I mean,
we used to have just, got one on there, but
yeah,
we used to have just the paper.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even cardstock.
No.
And everything was printed on by hand. And there, Mike's got one there, Council Beckman has one.
Jeez,
you're little
shape.
Bit bigger than,
yeah.
But still, this is, as long as it's a visible color.
Well, there is a yellow one out there.
So a yellow, so...
Yeah.
So there's different options of yellow?
Oh, yeah. It's just a question of which council it's happy with. I mean, something that's going to last, that's visible, as you say. It's useful to the people and cost-effective, I guess. I can't remember the cost there with the company, but...
I think it'd be around $1,000 all and done with the additions for the name and the address.
And that would be for how many cards?
Around 1,300.
1,300, okay.
So if these were done in-house, then the office would put everybody's name and property on it before it's laminated?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, it'd just be a matter of having a list, unless it could be done more effectively here, I don't know, but you'd probably have to do each one individually, which is fine.
You could do it off the, like, off the roll.
Mr. Mayor, can I just ask a question while we're here in the committee of the whole? The name on it, we're going to have people selling cottages, you're going to have to come in and get a new name, put on a new card. Can you not have, a customer number, for example, rather than a name, like using the last five or six digits of your roll number or something, because you're going to be a situation where cottages are sold, the name is going to be changing, but the address is going to be changing.
Yeah, I think the name was important, Councillor Keckner.
Yeah, so if someone's purchasing a piece of property, then yes, they'll come in for a new card. The name is important for the transfer station attendant when they're making out the receipts. So they're multitasking, they're doing several different things at any given time at the transfer station. It's not just time to do, they don't have time to do, just focus on one thing. So the when the transfer station user comes in, they hand the card to the transfer station attendant, and then the transfer station attendant can give them direction of where to go, where to put the stuff, and in the meantime, the transfer station attendant can write out a receipt, do the other four things that he's focusing on at the same time without the person standing there trying to spell out their name while the transfer station attendant is trying to focus on who's coming in and what's going on. So it just simplifies, it makes it a little more effective for the transfer station attendant when he's trying to do his job.
Not public. Go ahead.
Reg Moore. I think a very good point was brought up there for doing them in-house for the sale of property. It'd be a lot simpler than having a contractor do it.
Councilor Hassan?
I'm just wondering, could we get away with not putting the actual civic address number in Kent Street on these cards just go with the roll number? Would that be a possibility? And the reason I bring that up is with a lot of people maybe just throwing these on their dash, you know, just so they're there and off they go to the city and or whatever, but they have these cards laying up on their dash and a person can walk in, look in their windshield and see their name and see their actual address. So I'm just wondering if that's information being put out there that individuals don't want out there, is the actual civic address, so they know where they would actually be parking this BMW kind of thing. So I'm just wondering if we actually do need the civic addresses on there, if a roll number would be adequate. And that gives any potential criminals no way of really finding out where that vehicle is going to be parked in the future.
Is the roll number even more confidential than an address?
No, the roll number is not confidential. It's public information.
How many digits?
16.
Would that help the attendant, Councillor Kekkonen? The roll number as opposed to where you are in the township?
I don't know. I think that
you need the roll numbers all in front of you then.
But in putting a roll number down, you actually only need to use
a portion of it. Yeah,
a portion of it. For anyone in the municipality to identify it, we'd only need from the 001. I won't say the rest of your roll number. But that's all that would have to be on there.
And the first four digits identify the municipality.
Yeah.
So if you took that out, then someone wouldn't know the BMW is from McKellar.
Anyways, I'm just a little worried that if something happened and that's how a vehicle was located and stolen was because of their address being on a card on their dash.
Other comments? Need to know what's going on in the car, who's making the cards, what they're going to be made from?
Well,
a lot of decisions, because there's always that question too, whether they go out with the tax bills, which probably won't happen, or whether there should be a separate mailing. So, Councilor Zula.
Well, I like the cards. I think we could do them in-house. And the suggestion of just putting those digits of the roll number on there, that looks good, I think. I don't think you need the civic address, but the name, it should be on there. And I'm good with the yellow and the separate mailing. Does that answer all yours?
Okay, now I have to keep track. This is not a survey.
Are we
it would be nice to get this resolved because the stickers didn't go over too well. So,
are we going to have the QR code and the hours on the back? We're fairly limited for space.
I like
so
that idea. I like the because I would imagine there's probably at least 20 to 30% of our population that code is going to mean nothing to them. I if we have the space, I would say we put our hours on there too.
Might be a little harder, and I don't. What's involved in putting a QR code on?
I can do that. No problem.
Okay.
And no, too, like, you know, full-time residents here, they know how to recycle. They know where the transfer station is. This QR code is more geared towards our seasonal residents, who are usually of a younger generation that have, you know, camera phones, you know, that looked for this easy solution so they don't have to Google, you know, how to recycle in McKellar. Because, say, you're from Simcoe County, the way Simcoe County recycles and the way we recycle up here is two different things. And some people don't understand that, so they're having to change their ways when they come up to the cottage. And now, too, with our blue box transition, contamination rates are going to be a larger issue. So I think, you know, it is important to have those things on card as well. Just for it's something easy that people can find information quickly.
So you'd have enough room on the back to put both?
To put the written hours and a QR code.
Yeah, I'm in favor of that because, like I said, say 20% don't know what a QR code is all about, 80% will use it. So I think we should have both of them.
You notice she threw in there, I don't know if you caught it or not, the
younger
generation. Nobody's sitting here.
But. She's been dying to say that for months.
Mr. Mayor, I'm just wondering if the QR code could also, when you click on the QR code, you could tell you where hazardous waste goes. construction waste, and what about tires?
Good point. I mean, there are different locations for hazardous and construction. Tires we're still accepting, apparently, so...
The simple answer is, Ted, yes, you can do all that stuff. It just links you to a website that is the most usable case of it. And on there, you can obviously have different pages or different sections for all of those things. That's a good point. But it simply boils down to the design of the web page. But
that's right. So I'm just suggesting that if hazardous waste goes on the website, then you'll be directed to take it to that terminal at Resound, et cetera.
Yeah.
Yeah, I believe it's on the website now, the information for the hazardous waste depot in Parry Sound and what they take and the whole bit. So.
But it would make it easy. I mean, we have to work on the website and try to improve it so people can find these things.
Yeah, well, to make sure if we put these cards out that that is in place on our website, or else they'd be scanning and go, why am I even scanning?
And for the record, we should export the tax database and create a mail merge file that will actually do the printing so that it doesn't require any intervention by a user like you or Carly or anybody else for that matter.
Now, can you say that in English?
Would that be a third party though?
You take the information from the tax database, you create a way to take that and print the cards so that all the data has integrity. Okay. It's simple. I mean, there's some technical terms for it. It's really not hard, right? I haven't done it in 8 years because I quit working, but I used to do it a lot, so.
Yeah, it's right in our tax program.
Good. We have a volunteer. That's good.
I'd volunteer if you want me to, so.
Okay.
Does council have an expectation as to when these cards will be released?
Tomorrow? Is that too soon?
Very.
Maybe we shouldn't rush into it and make sure it circulates on Facebook first before we come to our final decision.
You're talking about past experience or what?
Well,
the public's aware, this is all open.
And a disclaimer, like with all this work being done in-house, it will take us a while.
Yeah.
So
how long do you figure it would take?
A couple months, and I think we would need to delay because obviously tax bill mail out is priority, then we have budget, and then we only have such few staff, and we'll have to hand write everything for 1300, so maybe we can hit end of July for the next mail out.
I was going to say August.
Or if council would like a mail out after July, it might be better because just the card would be in the envelope and not the tax bill, because I was brought up before that some people just shred their tax bill or throw it out because, you know, the bank pays it or. And then we can kind of advertise that, hey, watch out for this, right? In August or September, your card is coming in the mail.
Just for the record, the stick-ons that you did, I put mine on the day I got it, and it's still in the truck. Worked fine.
So did mine, but you know,
mine
but it fell off a couple times, but then it stuck.
Mine's still
on
your
custom.
Yeah, I still have mine too. It's the vocal minority, I guess, that has concerns. That's usually the way. We didn't hear from you before, so.
No.
So we're going with what color?
Well, you said the yellow.
Yes.
Okay.
I like yellow. It's noticeable.
Whether it be a darker yellow, as Councillor Kekkonen said.
Mm-hmm. Although the pink would be even more noticeable, but I don't know if we've got. Look at your old card there, Mike. That's highly visible, but
it's hard to read the writing sometimes.
That top one there, that yellow, that's looks great.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
And we can advertise that new cards will be coming out August, September, just so people aren't calling into the office saying, I have a 2023 keg, when's my 24 one coming?
Yeah.
Council agreeable to that?
Yeah.
We could put up a small sign at the transfer station too.
That's
people.
A good idea. Yeah.
I mean, they're there anyway.
Yep.
Right, so.
Okay, call the question then. All those in favor? This is the Wind Committee, though. Gary?
resolution 24-091, move the Council Hatton, second the Council Ryland, be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar, to by rise and report from Committee of the Whole at 7:36 p.m. Call the question, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. So do you need any direction?
We probably need a resolution for that. I was wondering if,
yeah.
Tommy, if you would write up the resolution, we can go ahead with the minutes.
Okay. And now down to 14.1, minutes of February 6th. 24 regular meeting of council. Resolution 24-092, move the Councilor Zulak, second Councilor Kekkonen. Be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby approve the minutes of the February 6, 2024 regular meeting of council as circulated. Any discussion on those minutes? Councilor Kekkonen.
February 6th, there was, I believe, resolution 24-081. Was a recorded vote.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Yes, correct. It should be corrected. Probably somewhere in the.
It'll be in the.
It'll show up. It was a recorded vote,
yeah,
right?
It'll be in the resolution.
Either that or we can defer that or as amended, but it's better to defer and get it all done properly.
It's only the one set of minutes. I think it's probably better to defer it and bring it back.
Okay.
Some of the items, sometimes discussions arising from the minutes, that the council remuneration. And we were supposed to receive some clarification on if those numbers are accurate.
Okay.
Because there was some references,
yeah,
to previous counselors,
yeah,
in the remuneration report when our fiscal year runs from January 1st to December 31st, and it was for 2023, so there shouldn't have been any previous expense. And there was expenses in there which I don't believe should have appeared in a no counselor. Had submitted expense forms, and there was expenses listed in that report. So I think we need some clarification or correction on the information in that report.
And I think this came up last meeting that the treasurer was to look into that. So, and I'm not sure if he has yet or not. So I guess it wouldn't hurt to reiterate the concerns. Yeah. Any further discussion of those? You're all agreeable to a deferral? Make the correction? Okay. Call the vote then. All those in favor of the deferral? And opposed?
So it doesn't mention anything about name and the basic information. It just mentions the hours operation in print and a QR code directing users to the recycling page on the website.
So you want information that's going to be on the front?
Yeah, because it doesn't specify this if it's at the front or back, and it doesn't specify if there's information on another side.
Do you want to add that proof, the proof card as like a Schedule A? because it has all the information on the card. And then we're just adding the hours of operation, the QR code on the back.
That's got more than what we're putting in, though. Because that has the address as well and roll number on that sample.
Well, we want to see another proof, right?
Yeah, that'd be good.
So unless that's just added in there, that's a council to receive a proof prior to printing.
Do you want to amend that a bit, or?
I'll rewrite a new one.
Well, most of it's good.
just add council to see proof.
Name with name,
8 digits of the roll number.
Okay.
Now the old ones had issued by as well. I don't know whether we need that or not.
Maybe just the date issued.
Okay.
Well,
I don't think you're going to get a lot of duplicates.
Just so that you have an idea of, are we going to do this every year? This is a one-time deal,
one
so
time.
Just,
one
you
time.
Can see when it was issued if that's.
Yep.
David's still got his from 1924, so.
There you go.
One of these cards?
Yeah. 24, yeah, that's a little rough.
Would we put on just one name if there's joint ownership of it?
Yeah, just to make it
just the first
shorter.
One? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the roll number.
Yeah.
Yes. So we have resolution 24-093. Mover and a seconder. Councilor Haskins, second by Councilor Ryland, be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of Township Keller does hereby direct staff to produce proof in-house a new transfer station permit card, yellow cardstock laminated, with the hours of operation in print and the QR code directing users to a recycling page on the website with name, 8 digits of the roll number, and date issued, and further that the cards be mailed in August or September 2024. Further, that it be advertised at the transfer station that the 2023 stickers are still valid. And I think at this point, too, the old cards are still valid, if I remember our previous resolution.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, Councillor Cuckin's card is still okay, too. Call the question then, all those in favor? None opposed, carried. To 15.2 consent application B21/2023 header. And resolution 24-094 moved by Councillor Zulek, second by Councillor Kekkonen, whereas resolution number 23-541 was carried at the August 15th, 2023 regular meeting of the council, approving the proposed lot addition on Brownlee Road as applied for by Susan Header in consent application number B21/2023, subject to conditions. And whereas condition number 3 states that any portion of Brownlee Road, 33 feet from the center line of the road, be conveyed to the township should the applicant be the owner. And whereas the applicant is the owner of Part 1 RP 42R-14410. And whereas bylaw 1997-21, being a bylaw to stop up and close that portion of Brownlee Road in Lot 19, Concession 9, designated as Part 1 on registered plan 42R-14410, was passed on October 20th, 1997,
And whereas the township owns part 2, RP 42R-14410, creating a 66-foot wide road allowance for Brownlee Road. Now therefore be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby amend resolution number 23-541 to remove condition number 3. Discussion. And we've got just the person here, if Council would like the history of that property.
Whether you want to, you don't have to, it's up to you. I think it's all clarified. Carly did some research.
The resolution pretty well, doesn't it?
So it's still the 66 feet. I guess the one question is on the actual mapping. It's a little confusing the further east you go with the lines that are drawn. If the yellow, what's the yellow actually imply, the outline there?
Sorry, the yellow line doesn't really mean anything in the drawing that you received. It's just one of the drawings I received from the applicant's surveyor.
Okay, I just wondered because it seems to narrow down quite a bit at one point there, but if it doesn't mean anything.
No, it doesn't mean anything. And I also consulted with the director of operations to ensure that there was 66 feet along the whole stretch of Brownlee Road, and he's happy with that. So, yeah.
Excellent.
Looks good.
Any other questions, discussion? Call the question, all in favor? None opposed, carried. Resolution 24-095, moved by Councillor Haskins, second by Councillor Ryland. We have resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the minutes of the January 25th, 2024 meeting of the Township of McKellar Recreation Committee. Discussion? Is that the one that Mr. Whitehall had asked about the arm wrestling?
He didn't attend. He's actually going to attend our next meeting, so he says.
Oh, that's good. It's going in that direction. I guess the question I have, he asked me out in the parking lot, and I knew I couldn't answer him, but he had used it in the past. And I guess the question is, who actually decides who uses what rooms? Is it the Recreation Committee, or is it the Historical Committee who's taken over part of that, or is it the office? Is it Council?
Yeah, I don't know what his proposal will be. He's probably thinking the youth room downstairs. I have a feeling, because the arm wrestling table is fairly heavy. It takes be too much to move from down there up to here kind of thing. So I get it's Thursday. He's supposed to come to our meeting with a proposal. And if he wants to go ahead, I guess we would basically get him to talk to the office to make whatever arrangements are necessary to fall under the umbrella. And yes, that's a good question, Dave, as to where he does want it. If it's the youth room, I get a feeling that's probably what he is.
That's what he mentioned to me. But
right.
My concern was, I guess, who gives the approval?
Yeah.
And I'm not sure who has the authority, to be honest. So
right.
I think when the Historical Committee wanted to use it for storage, they came back to council, was it?
No, it's actually for this display room.
Right.
So there's certain times of the year, like fall fair, where there's specific displays that have been in there, and with the 150, then there was some displays that were intended in there as well. So
it's not just storage then.
No, it's not storage. It's just that, you know, with the museum, the displays are static, and with the youth room or the display room, which the Historical Committee uses, it's for a specific display. So the next one that's planned is the Herdville Mill, and so that's to be sort of put in place for, I can't remember what it was.
I guess the question on all of this, though, first of all, coordination, and also who makes the decision? Who did the Historical Committee go to use part of the youth room?
So it came before council, and council passed a resolution granting permission for the historical committee to use that for the Historical Committee display room.
Okay, so just so when it comes to recreation, we'll have some plan of action.
So it'll have to come back to council then to
coordinate with the historical, I guess.
Right, because are you saying, Mike, then it would be a possibility they could utilize that room for arm wrestling? It's to kind of work around the displays kind of thing, or is it just a no-no?
I'm not sure. Well, the swim program uses it currently,
yeah.
Right? So
mm-hmm.
The historical committee has stuff sort of pushed back to the
yeah.
outer walls.
Yeah, there seems to be lots of room down there still, like even, you know, with the... what the historical has put in there, and I think with the arm wrestling is what they would just set it out in the middle of the room and a few guys are standing around, so I would think it would fit. I think it could be accommodated, but
sounds good.
Well, let the office know, or so how do you, so somehow you have to relay that information to someone so it can be brought to the next historical committee meeting so the committee can
coordinate everything.
So that's March 6th, which is the next historical committee meeting.
And when's your next recreation?
The Thursday.
Thursday,
the
okay.
So you got lots of time.
Yeah. So if he does want to do something down there, well, then we would probably pass a resolution endorsing or recommending, and it would go then to the office, that they would have to tell him what time. What days and times are available, and then hope, and then maybe they can make contact with the historical committee and work it out with them too.
I think that it would be better if you basically summarize what his proposal is. That proposal comes to the historical committee. Historical committee looks at what, you know, because historical committee currently has. Permission from council with a council resolution stating that they can use it as their display room. So, like, it would have to go to council or the historical committee to determine, you know, how that fits in with what they being given permission from council currently.
Yeah, and it gets more and more complicated.
Yeah, well, I think
in a situation, historical has to understand that it's not a second historical room. That it has been used in the past for swimming, as you said. It has been used for the arm wrestling. I think that's where they did it.
Mm-hmm.
And that historical got permission, yes, because it wasn't being used as much. But that it's not a second historical only room sort of thing. That there has to be a cooperation working together. So
And is there not, like, on the list of the rentals of the different parts of the building, does it not also have... Not that they're paying anything, but I'm saying, is it not also listed on there as a separate, if they, someone wanted to rent the youth room?
Yeah, I don't know if it's on the list or not.
I think it is. I'm just saying, so then it's not, like you're saying, strictly just for historical, even though there's a motion saying they can use it.
Well, I think that in all fairness to the historical committee, instead of all of a sudden another entity being given permission without a council resolution to use a room, that instead of being blindsided like that, they're aware of what is in the works.
No, I think that's far enough to let them know, sure.
Yeah, and I don't know whether it's a possibility, whether... I can't see them, well, if they're going to do it for 8 weeks in a row, I don't know his plan is... Could the arm wrestling table be brought up and put in the all-purpose room?
Yeah,
that's what I was
wondering.
Yeah, for those 8 weeks. That, you know, they set it to the side. But
mm-hmm.
As far as I know, there's room there. And so just use this room up here.
The only thing is, I don't have a record of what that room has been used for, but I think it has been used in the past. Isn't there a crafting group that uses
there's
the multi-purpose?
There's a crafting group that comes in every other Tuesday night.
And anybody renting can also use the multi-purpose, right?
Mm-hmm.
The senior citizen?
Yeah, they can. They can use it as well. But if it's arm wrestling, like for the one night, if the table's movable,
mm-hmm.
the table could be set back into the back where the chairs are kept,
yeah.
right? So
yeah.
that it's out of the way so that it can be used for something else. I think the multi-purpose room might...
That's what I was kind of thinking originally when he mentioned it a month or so ago.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking kind of maybe that, but we can talk to him and
see which he's interested in, because the multipurpose has a concern too. We've run into that before. We had a meeting going on in the hall, and they were wanting to use the multipurpose, and the only access
right.
is through the hall, so
mm-hmm.
it wasn't
right. So they'd have to be theirs had to be scheduled when there was nothing happening
mm-hmm.
in the hall.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is there's still some space.
There's still space, yeah.
Yeah.
We just have to schedule around it.
So, okay.
That's good.
Prepare.
I did read this one, right? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed. Gary? Resolution 24-096, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen, be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the draft minutes of the December 6, 2023 meeting of the Township of McKellar Historical Committee. Any discussion of those minutes? Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed. Carried. Resolution 24-097, moved by Councillor Ryan, second by Councillor Haskin, be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the minutes of the November 27th, 2023 meeting of the Ferry Sound Area Planning Board. Discussion?
I think we had received these minutes before. I think there's actually more recent minutes that we could have had on the agenda.
Well, I'm not sure if they sent the January out because it has to be approved before they send them. They don't send out a draft.
We take the planning board minutes off their website. We don't get them sent to the township. So yeah.
Well, maybe we should be investigating that. Then why aren't they forwarded to the townships? We belong to the planning board rather than making the townships go looking for them. Yeah, well, we can make that suggestion.
Yeah, you just go ahead and send them to the townships.
Yeah, but I think that's the last one that we would see because the January ones haven't been approved yet. Been no February meeting, so
yeah,
they're certainly not on the website. The January one, so we may have passed these before, but I'm not sure that we did.
Maybe not. I just
I don't ever remember seeing them.
Oh, I probably why
you,
I
you were there. So.
Why it looks familiar to me is because I probably read these prior to our last
right
meeting for approval.
Yeah.
Okay.
Call the question. All in favor? Okay. Resolution 24-098, moved by Councilor Kekkonen, second by Councilor Haskin. Be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the accounts payable preliminary check run report for January 2024 from Treasurer Roshan Cantilla for information purposes. Discussion?
Because it obviously pops up in this report, I mean, that there is by and large no budget amounts in here because for the obvious reason that we don't have an approved budget yet. Do we have a plan? I mean, it's off the topic perhaps of this particular item, but that's my question. I have had ratepayers ask me about it as well, and I couldn't give them an answer, frankly.
It's in the treasurer's hands. We talked February, I think, the end of February, but Roshan has said the 1st of March is what he's aiming for.
Okay.
So he had to gather some information together as well.
All right.
Yeah, he has been working with like all of the department heads.
Yeah.
They've got their preliminary into him, but his priority first is to get the taxes out and the budget.
I understand why. So, yeah.
Any other questions of the figures that we can send back to the treasurer? I had the one on page 5, I guess. It says 4 at the top, 5 at the bottom. On azimuth environmental gain, and I know it's not for the same purpose because it would be a much higher bill, but again, we questioned that before. Where are we at in that stage as far as you know, finishing the program? I'm not sure if the
my understanding is that we are done now.
Okay.
I'll confirm that with Greg and with Roshan, but that's my understanding that we are done.
So this will be the last bill?
That would be the last bill.
So, is this the final report that we're paying for?
I have not seen a report. A report has not come to me. I can check with Greg on that.
And I wonder if it's just final because we brought it up
wonder how long it has been fine.
Good question.
And Greg had mentioned, was it 20 years that Greg
yeah.
had mentioned? Yeah.
Associates. The question about them, I guess. I remember a check coming through. Are they on retainer? Do we pay them a certain amount?
There is a certain annual amount. They can be released with notice.
Right.
But yeah, but there is an annual amount that comes through that we pay to the overtures.
Councilor Kacken?
So then Town of Perry Sound. And it's the
page,
this is page 26 of 28 on the bottom, page 1 at the top. So this is the year-end invoice for the household hazardous waste. So we receive it once a year at the end of the year. It's $5,193.41.
They're behind on their billing. It should come out more often than that, but I know Rashawn's been looking into it with the town.
It does say October, November, December there, so it looks to be like a quarterly bill, but nevertheless, it's hard to tell without like year-to-date balances and things too, so.
So, but they don't collect anything after October. But yeah, so it's a quarterly bill.
Yeah.
So are we paying $5,000 every quarter?
We are charged as to how much comes into the transfer station or the household hazardous waste station. So it's all depending on the amount. And they accept year round.
Hmm.
Year round?
Yes.
Yeah. I've been there in the winter even, so not this winter, but
yeah.
Before, yeah, up until recently was in October that was the cutoff for receiving household hazardous waste.
That's correct.
So maybe we need to notify our residents that that has changed and they accept household hazardous waste
on
year
the
round.
On the Town of Perry Sound's website, it does have it that it's all year round now. Like it's well advertised on the town's website, and I believe our website also says that it's year round. It's been year round for quite a while now.
Well, this is the first I'm aware of it, and probably many other people, so.
And speaking of informing the public, I'm wondering, too, if they realize, unless it's changed, that you're charged per visit, not necessarily the amount. That's what we were always told.
Like the township is charged per visit?
Right.
No.
So they don't want people going with one can of paint 10 times.
No, that's incorrect. You're charged on what you bring.
That's changed then, too.
That's
something I wasn't aware of, because our previous clerk said, we have to let people know it's per visit. Don't take the bit each time.
That's incorrect, and that used to be one of my roles at the Town of Perry Sound, so I can confirm you are only charged as to what you bring, because the town gets the invoice from Brendar saying what you brought, and then
which makes more sense
accordingly. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yet, to my knowledge, having delivered paint cans there many times, is nobody ever, well, they might have counted them, how would I know, but I don't think they ever weighed them or anything like that, I'll say that. But
no, it's billed on a pail, so they fill like a 20-liter pail,
okay.
And then
yeah.
Our
okay.
on the pail.
I've never really watched a lid and handed them
yeah,
the stuff.
It's
so,
behind the scenes.
Yeah.
So maybe we need an updated.
As we did for the industrial park.
Yeah, we need an updated report on this, particularly because before the annual cost used to be approximately $6,000. Now I'm looking back at 2021 was $18,000, a little bit. And 2022 was 14,000, so we certainly need to have an update on the household hazardous waste, what has changed, and what we're paying for.
Is that recorded? Good. I got page 20, going back a bit here. I just need a little more information, I guess. It's Lisa Lund Professional. It says legal land registry,
mm-hmm.
$4,600. different from the carcass. So what else was she involved in?
No, that is carcass.
Okay.
Sorry, what page?
It does. It has carcass above it that says closing 1800, and below it it says 4600, and it doesn't specify that it's still carcass. So
I believe that's the only thing that we have.
That's what I thought. The only thing we dealt with.
Yeah, I'm sure that that is all the same index.
Okay.
And part of that would be like the actual fees that are being paid to the land registry office, title searches, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Well, she didn't have to do a title search on it, but all of the things that she had to do at the registry office, things like that.
Any other questions, words, figures? Call the question then. All in favor? And opposed? Carried. Yeah, resolution 24-099, moved by Councillor Haskins, second by Councillor Ryland. Whereas the Township of McKellar received correspondence via email from Mac Bain, Executive Director of the Federation of Northern Ontario Municipalities, FNOM, requesting councils of Ontario municipalities to consider a draft resolution prepared by FNOM, continued below. And whereas current provincial and municipal fiscal arrangements are undermining Ontario's economic prosperity and quality of life, and whereas nearly a third of municipal spending in Ontario is for services in areas of provincial responsibility, and expenditures are outpacing provincial contributions by nearly $4 billion a year, and whereas municipal revenues such as property taxes do not grow with the economy or inflation, and whereas unprecedented population and housing growth would require significant investments in municipal infrastructure, and whereas municipalities are being asked to take on complex health and social challenges like homelessness, supporting asylum seekers, and addressing the mental health and addictions crises, and whereas inflation, rising interest rates, and provincial policy decisions are sharply constraining municipal fiscal capacity, and whereas property taxpayers, including people on fixed incomes and small businesses, can't afford to subsidize income redistribution programs for those most in need, and whereas the province can and should invest more in the prosperity of communities, and whereas municipalities and the provincial government have a strong history of collaboration, now therefore be resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar asks the Province of Ontario to commit an undertaking with the Association of Municipalities of Ontario to a comprehensive social and economic prosperity review to promote the stability and sustainability of municipal finances across Ontario, and further that a copy of this motion be sent to the Premier of Ontario, Minister of Municipal Affairs and Housing, the Minister of Finance, the Association of Municipalities of Ontario, the leaders of the opposition, and the Federation of Northern Ontario Municipalities. Discussion? Councillor Tracken?
What's this asking for? When you think about it, isn't this what the certain municipalities were asking for to lead the next step to amalgamation?
I'm just saying, the way I understand it is that the province has to provide more money for the municipalities if they want all of these programs implemented. I'm not seeing amalgamation in it myself. But
so, ask the province of Ontario to commit to an undertaking with the Association of the Municipalities of Ontario, a comprehensive social and economic prosperity review to promote the stability and sustainability of municipal finances across Ontario. What does that mean? Does that mean, like, let's look at if certain municipalities would be better if we join them together?
I guess it's open interpretation.
Isn't that what some of the municipalities wanted, municipalities in this area, in principle, to agree to? That there be a review of...
I think it's worded slightly differently. This is from FNOM, all of the Northern Ontario municipalities, not just West Parry Sound area. But you could have an argument that there's some similarities in that paragraph.
So what's this leading to? You know, are we going to agree to something that we're not even sure what exactly we're agreeing to?
Good question. Well, what effect it will have? So.
Well, maybe what this leads to is that the minister says, "Well, we're going to review if we can." work amalgamation into, if that's going to be the solution to what you guys are concerned about.
Some of the northern municipalities want amalgamation, right?
Some.
Yeah. Interesting.
Hmm. Whereas current provincial, municipal, financial, or fiscal arrangements are undermining Ontario's economic prosperity and quality of life.
It could be read as being supportive of it, you're right. So, so what do you
think? Are we still living
defeated
in the
or defer
it? Age where you just kind of crumple up a piece of paper and throw it behind you? Or?
That was
on the table, sorry.
That wasn't Jerry, though.
Yeah. Further discussion?
Mm-hmm.
So, recording vote? Do we want to defer it indefinitely forever, or?
No. I'd rather vote on it.
Your motions. Defer? Approve? Defeat? Recorded?
I think defeat. I think it's the only safe thing to do without more information anyhow. I wouldn't want this to be, you know, implied to be our consent to amalgamation or something.
If you need more information, then defer.
Yeah.
Defer would be the approach as suggested, rather than defeat immediately without that information.
Okay.
I've been leaning toward defer until we receive more information, but there's no hurry to get any more information. I don't want...
That's on the record, just so you
yeah.
know. So.
I don't know whether it would come like, oh, McKellar voted this down. Why? What's their concern? It's just, it's one of those things where it just might just start bringing something to light where, you know, just
okay.
Let's let it go by and...
defer. Call the question then, all those who wish to defer. Okay, deferred it is. Check the box up. Resolution 24-100, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Cackman, be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby support the Corporation of the County of Prince Edward. Resolution number 2024-46, requesting the Fire Underwriters Survey, FUS, to create a new community fire protection and fire prevention insurance system that does not put all municipalities under the same umbrella, with distinct categories for rural and urban municipalities, specifically pertaining to the replacement of fire trucks due to insurance requirements, and further that this support resolution be circulated to Premier Doug Ford, the Honorable David Puccini, Minister of Labor, Immigration Training and Skills Development, the Honorable Paul Calandra, Minister of Municipal Affairs and Housing, Federation of Canadian Municipalities, FCM, the Association of Municipalities of Ontario, AMO, the Eastern Ontario Wardens Caucus, EOWC, and the Corporation of the County of Prince Edward. Discussion? So, the basic principle I believe, like from the memo that we received from the fire chief, was that currently the vehicles are, they only have a certain life span according to how long they can be used, like 10 years or something? Or Carly wants to...
Yeah, I think it depends on the mileage too, and obviously with a smaller township, there's not many kilometers put on the vehicles, so
I think it was that currently it's 10 years, but the fire chief stood by these other municipalities and wanted it not amount of years, but is the mileage. So,
yes.
You know, you can have a vehicle that has only, you know, 14,000 kilometers on it, and it's past the 10 years, but that vehicle's still good for 200,000 kilometers. And they have to go through a safety anyway, so you know that they're roadworthy, even though they are 20 years old or whatever the year may be.
Okay, any further discussion? Call the question, all those in favor? Opposed, carried. announcements, inquiries, reports by council members. Committee reports. Go ahead, Councillor House.
Yeah, I don't have a committee report, but I do have, I guess you'd call it inquiry. I had an email, I guess, from Al last, and he was wondering if, I know years ago when we started, Recreation Committee started having movie nights, we purchased a sound system for the hall that we used for the movie nights. I don't know how many years ago that would be now, but quite a few years. And so now it's sitting over there not being used because we have the new sound system, so it's not doing anything sitting over there. So Al sent me a letter saying, when's your next rec meeting? I'd like it be taken forward that I want to purchase that old system if it's not being used anymore, which it isn't. So I thought, well, okay, I'm going to take it to the rec committee, but I know that we just can't go and sell or give something away to anybody. So anyways, this is going to start a whole big process. We got to give Al an answer. So where do we go from here?
Well, first of all, has he read the recent conflict of interest and the code of conduct policy for, is he on any committees?
No.
He's not on any committees at this point?
No.
Okay. Because a committee member as well as an employee, as council members, et cetera, can't purchase township equipment. So that's cleared up. Okay.
So it's actually surplus. Let's put it that way.
Well, the township would have to declare it surplus.
That's right. So whether we, if we're agreeable to sell it or gift it or whatever we want to do, I guess then do at our next meeting, do we declare it surplus? Mm-hmm. And does it then have to go out for bidding, or can we just...
Doesn't it have to go to the public?
So I don't know whether we want to start that process. We may as well clean the stuff out of there.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing is the bowling mat, I guess, too. one of our rec committees has spoken with the senior groups, and they said to the rec member, can you guys use this? We don't use it anymore, so basically. And he looked at it, he's aware of that sport, and says it's just garbage.
Mm-hmm.
It should be just hauled to the landfill. But the balls and that, he is aware of a group somewhere else in the province that we could probably donate that to. So there's another item filling up the hall that we could maybe deem surplus and get rid of. So whether we want to do that then with those items.
Okay, if you can provide with a list of the stuff to be declared surplus,
okay,
we can have that ready for the next council meeting.
Sure.
And I think at some point it could be circulated to the committees,
mm-hmm,
because the historical committee sometimes would like to have a display in the background of maybe at one of the new locations,
mm-hmm,
that if we can use the sound system for one of the display sections there.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's a good point. I don't know. Is it still usable? Is it still functional? I mean,
probably.
And if
so,
wants
it.
And there are new locations coming up.
Yeah,
I don't know.
But that's if it's going to be used, if it's usable and it can be used by a historical committee, then we don't have to declare it.
Right, so it's
either
still within corporations.
Are you talking about the sound system now?
Pardon me?
Are you talking about the sound system?
The
yes.
old one.
Okay.
Yeah.
But there's no power in either of those buildings, is there?
Not currently, but
okay.
You know, they're all, those have a long-term plan.
Okay.
So.
No, I'm all for reusing where we can, for sure. But.
So I guess the next step would be make a list and then
check it twice
and see what's going to be, what will stay on the list and what will come off if there are other uses for it. Yeah.
Okay.
Is that giving up direction?
I think so.
Just had a question. So the Lake Stewardship and Environmental Committee, so they have a subcommittee for household, the recycling program. So, which is great that they've taken that on. So is that comprised of a quorum of the committee?
I think it's four of us. I'm one of them. So, I mean, does that meet a quorum definition? No, but I mean, I think our plans would be to gather information, present it back to the committee itself, the LSEC committee, and then, you know, forward recommendations to council. I know that several of the new members have done, quite frankly, an extraordinary amount of work in gathering information. And I found it very illuminating.
Well, yeah,
no,
it's not a question. It's great work that they've done. It's just that if there's a quorum of the committee members, then it could be open to the public as well when they're having those discussions.
Okay. There's a meeting scheduled for Thursday. For those of you who don't know, Jennifer Gant-Fuller, who's the chair of the LSEC, fell and broke her leg last week and had to go for surgery, broke her femur, even worse. And so she's at home at her cottage because it's at one level and everything else her husband is looking after, but she's laid up, I think, for something in the range of 6 weeks. So that's what. Nevertheless, in typical Jennifer fashion, the day she's out of the hospital, she's phoning me about this, that, and the other thing, and others too. So she may be unmobile, but by the same token, she's intimately involved with things going on. I talked to her twice on Friday for an extended period. So that's good news. I don't have the date. I can look it up. Well, I don't have my phone in here with me, but there is the overall committee meeting coming up too, so I just don't remember when. So
that's still being advertised, though, because I noticed a couple
yes.
times it wasn't on the township website, so.
Well, yes, we've got some issues in terms of how we tell people about the meeting and all the rest, so. But I think we're getting there. I mean, Jennifer got one of the new fellows to step up and send out invitations, meeting invitations, so that everybody knows. So that's clearly part of the problem. It was a problem for me, right? They didn't tell me, but anyhow, I knew there was a meeting. Did I know it was that day? No. So
not just the members, but the public.
No, I agree. But I mean, you've got to have that's the basics have to be there in order to manage, you know,
well,
the expectations.
I know councilors do like fighting this forever with right. Belvedere, and just a matter of them, you know, getting together,
okay.
getting the information out correctly when the meetings
sure.
are being held,
sure.
and can the public attend? I mean, do they even know?
Yeah.
And are they all Zoom meetings? Are they in person? Do they think things they need to know? And it's not just that committee.
Sure.
It's
no,
all
okay.
committees.
They are all Zoom meetings. Frankly, there's only a few people on the bigger committee that I've ever met face to face, so maybe four.
I thought you held the committee meeting here, you and Tony Best.
Tony, we do, but I mean, it's basically
in case
somebody wants to come and attend in person, which has never happened. So, and I continue to do it. If Jenner asks me to do it, I'll come and do it for sure. But I think I'm 99.9% certain nobody else has ever attended other than Tony and me. So, but
I guess that's the question.
Yeah,
would they have attended if they knew of it? So.
Well, I mean, every one of them has been a Zoom meeting ever since I joined that committee, which is...
No, and I appreciate
years.
That. I think
yeah.
they've done really well compared to some of our committees
yeah.
who the public doesn't even know the meeting.
Yeah.
They certainly know Zoom.
Yeah. But
I'll
make a point of making sure that everybody knows them and everything else. As for Thursday's meeting, I can ask.
Well, it's probably on the website now. I don't know.
It's the recycling subcommittee. I don't know. Do you know if it is?
It's not.
Okay.
Now, the question you're asking, I think, though, with the subcommittee, you have to make sure that you don't have a majority of the members on the subcommittee, because then decisions are already made. So that's
okay.
where you have to...
I think there's only four, is that? Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay, and there's 10
total.
I'm drawing
a blank on all the names, but yeah.
There's 10 total on the committee?
Sorry?
How many are on the committee as a total?
Not
subcommittee, just
no,
the
upper...
It used to be around 10, I remember.
Something like that, 10, 11. I mean, it's changed. Jennifer's actually done some, made excellent contacts, mostly through the McKellar Market, she tells me, on people that came by at the booth that, well, either the Lake Association or LSEC, and found people that are quite credible, quite frankly, are experts, which is great, as opposed to idiots like me. So. Anyhow, so no, I think she's done a great job with that and got some new blood in there, and I think that's critical too. So,
good. Other committee reports? Resolution 24-101, moved by Councillor Ryland, seconded by Councillor Hoskin, be resolved the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar has hereby received the consent agenda for correspondence. Anything you wish to pull from that to discuss?
person? Any items on the agenda that you wish to comment on? Okay, hearing none, we have resolution 24-102, moved by Councilor Zulak, second by Councilor Kekkonen. Be it resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar does hereby give bylaw number 2024-17 in the bylaw to confirm the proceedings of Council of first and second reading. Further read a third time and passed an open Council this 20th day of February 2024. Call the question, all in favor? None opposed, carried. And resolution 24-103, moved by Councilor Haskin, second by Councilor Ryland. Be resolved, the Council of the Corporation of the Township of McKellar adjourn this meeting at 8:27 p.m. to meet again on March the 5th, 2024, at the call of the mayor. Call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? Carried. Meeting is now adjourned.